Welcome back. This is Chicken Philosophy. Secret of the Golden Flower. Part 7, I think?
The stool broke.
So hi, how's everybody doing? Last time on Secret of the Golden Flower, Chicken Philosophy, we started reading the actual text, whereas previously we had only been reading the introduction. So if you would like, if this is your first time hearing about the Secret of the Golden Flower, and you would like to hear a Swiss guy and a German guy in like 1929 and 1930 break it all down for your ancestors, then click here and you can hear the first 5 episodes. However, if you want to start at the beginning of the translation, the Chinese into English, then you can start with part 6 of Secret of the Golden Flower. So, as has become tradition, at the beginning of these episodes, we do I Ching. Now, the funny thing is, I was flipping 2 coins, and if they were both heads, or if they were both tails, then I would say that that was an unbroken line. And if one was heads and one was tails, then I would say that that was a broken line. I don't know where I got that idea in my head, because it occurred to me later, after the most recent episode, I could just as easily flip 1 coin and heads would be the undivided line and tails could be the divided line. Why was I doing it that way? I think the ancient way was to was using turtle shells. So they would take a ninja turtle shell or just a regular turtle shell and they would put it in the fire, and then after it cracked they'd see where the cracks were on the turtle shell, and that was how they would determine what the I Ching figure was. But a more recent way to do it is to flip coins. So first I'm going to flip a coin to determine whether to what incense to use. See, we have a little bit of fun here. We've got cedar wood or rose. Let's say heads for rose, tails for cedar wood. Rose it is. And that's fun. It's raining. Monsoon season has officially begun. It was raining pretty hard earlier and making a lot of noise. Why is my shirt tucked in? We'll see if the rain picks up and causes some more noise. So this is a very lovely aroma. This Morningstar brand, Japanese. I know the topic is Chinese and the incense is Japanese, but my dad, though born in China, was more like Scottish, English, German, Alsace-Lorraine, kind of French and German, and other stuff. So, can you smell that? Isn't it nice? So, since we're mixing things up a bit, as far as, like, nations and cultures, we will determine. See, I've got 6 coins here. This one is American. This one is, what is this? Centavos? Magnifying glass, please. Yes, Centavos It's Brazilian. So we got America, Brazil. Brazil is kind of like a sister of where I am now, a fellow former Portuguese colony. This is a 200 pesos, so I assume it's Mexico. So US, Brazil, Mexico, and India. Got it. Hey! One moment, please. Forgive me, Lakshmi, for allowing your physical form to fall upon the ground. That's considered normal here in India. But you don't actually touch it with your mouth. It's more like a gesture. So this is from India. And this one here is from Nepal. I don't know if you can see these. And finally, just to, why not, one from China. So, here I've got a six-sided die. And in the order in which I just listed them off, we're gonna let chance decide which coin we're gonna use to divine the I Ching. And it's a four. And just so you know that I'm not fibbing. See, it's a four. So we're going to go with the Indian one. That's where I live. That's where I'm speaking to you from now. And for the music, you may already know. We got a two. So that means we're going to go with some Brazilian bossa nova, which is what you've been hearing all along since the cock crowed Peter. Anyway, so yeah, let's go ahead and do the I Ching and then we can get to the reading. Okay, so heads is going to be, I don't know which one's heads. Let's say heads is the pillar of Ashok, and tails is the five. Okay, and heads is undivided line, and tails is divided line. Okay. Heads. Tails. Tails. Heads. 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 One moment, please. If you would increase the volume of the music for a moment, would you, editor? Ken and Xian, Mountain and Heaven, Figure 26. Ta Chu, the taming power of the great. I don't know whether to say I'm flattered or bless you. In the face of rising tension, keep still. Honor in practice what you have learned from the I Ching. And I'm fairly like 95% certain that we haven't gotten that figure before. The figure that's going up there. Previously on Chicken Philosophy. It is Ta Chu, the taming power of the great. And now, let's get to the the reading, shall we? The one effective, true human nature, parentheses, logos united with vitality, end parentheses. Now, Friedrich Wilhelm told us in the introduction what Chinese word he has decided to translate as logos, but I don't remember what it was. So just keep in mind that whatever you know about logos, whether it be from the Gospel of John or other ancient Greek philosophy, has nothing to do with what he's saying, because he's sort of arbitrarily taking words like eros and logos and animus and anima and just plugging them in to Chinese words that are difficult to translate in English. So it's fun. It's like a puzzle that we'll never know the answer to. Okay. The one effective true human nature, logos united with vitality. When it descends into the house of the creative, divides into, and I refuse to say animus and anima. I just flat out fucking refuse. Because, as stated before, the definitions in ancient Latin are one thing, the definitions by Carl Jung are another thing, and the definitions by Friedrich Wilhelm are yet a third thing. And he's plugging them in to substitute for the Chinese words hun and po. And it might be po, but rather than try to pronounce it like that, I'm just going to say hun and po. When it descends into the house of the creative, divides into Hun and Po. The Hun is the heavenly heart. It is of the nature of light. It is the power of lightness and purity. It is that which we have received from the great emptiness, that which is identical in form with the primordial beginning. So, if I were to venture to try to translate this into a Western concept, I would not use animus. Based on this description alone, tzimtzum would be much more appropriate. But we'll keep reading, and probably it's not so one-to-one. The Hun is the heavenly heart. Right, we read that. It is that which we... Yes. The Po partakes of the nature of the dark. It is the energy of the heavy and turbid. It is bound to the bodily, fleshly heart. The Hun loves life. The Po seeks death. All sensuous desires and impulses of anger are effects of the Po. It is the conscious spirit which after death is nourished on blood, but which during life is in great distress. The dark returns to darkness, and like things attract each other according to their kind. But the pupil understands how to distill the dark Po completely so that it transforms itself into pure light, parentheses, yang, end parentheses. In this part, there is described the role played by the primal spirit and the conscious spirit in the making of the human body. The master says, the life of man is like that of a mayfly.
Only the true human nature of the primal spirit can transcend the cycle of heaven and earth and the fate of the aeons. The true human nature proceeds from that which has no polarity, bracket parentheses, the ultimateless, end bracket parentheses. Cool. And receives the primal energy of polarity, bracket parentheses, the ultimate, end bracket parentheses.
Yeah. Huh.
Whereby it takes the true essence of heaven and earth into itself and becomes the conscious spirit. As primal spirit, it receives its human nature from father and mother. This primal spirit is without consciousness and knowledge, but is able to regulate the formative processes of the body. The conscious spirit is very evident and very effective, and can adapt itself unceasingly. It is the ruler of the human heart. As long as it stays in the body, it is the Hun. After its departure from the body, it becomes spirit. While the body is entering into existence, the primal spirit has not yet formed an embryo in which it could incorporate itself. Thus, it crystallizes itself in the non-polarized free one with a capital O. At the time of birth, the conscious spirit inhales the energy and thus becomes the dwelling of the newborn. It lives in the heart. From that time on, the heart is master, and the primal spirit loses its place, while the conscious spirit has the power. The primal spirit loves stillness, and the conscious spirit loves movement. In its movement, it remains bound to feelings and desires. Day and night, it wastes the primal seed, till the energy of the primal spirit is entirely used up. Then the conscious spirit leaves the shell and goes away. Whoever has done good in the main has spirit energy that is pure and clear when death comes. It passes out by the upper openings of mouth and nose. The pure and light energy rises upward and floats up to heaven
and becomes the fivefold present shadow genius or shadow spirit. That's fun. But if during life the primal spirit was used by the conscious spirit for avarice, folly, desire, and lust, and committed all sorts of sins. Wait, are we reading Martin Luther? What the fuck? Sorry. Then in the moment of death, the spirit energy is turbid and confused, and the conscious spirit passes out together with the breath. Through the lower openings of the door of the belly. You mean the belly button or the other door? Doors. For if the spirit energy is turbid and unclean, it crystallizes downward, sinks down to hell, and becomes a demon. Then not only does the primal spirit lose its nature, but the power and wisdom of true human nature is thereby lessened. Therefore, the master says, if it moves, that is not good. If one wants to maintain the primal spirit, one must without fail first subjugate the perceiving spirit. The way to subjugate it is through the circulation of the light. Sorry. If one practices the circulation of the light, one must forget both body and heart. The heart must die, the spirit live. When the spirit lives, the breath will begin to circulate in a wonderful way. This is what the master called the very best. Then the spirit must be allowed to dive down into the abdomen, parentheses, solar plexus. End parentheses. The energy then has intercourse with spirit, and spirit unites with the energy and crystallizes itself. This is the method of starting the work. In time, the primal spirit transforms itself in the dwelling of life into the true energy. At that time, the method of the turning of the mill wheel must be applied in order to distill it so that it becomes the elixir of life. That is the method of concentrated work. When the life elixir pearl is finished, the holy embryo can be formed. Then the work must be directed to the warming and nourishing of the spiritual embryo.
Yes. What? That is the method of finishing. When the energy body of the child is fully formed, the work must be so directed that the embryo is born and returns to emptiness. That is the method of ending the work. From the most ancient times till today, this is not empty talk, but the sequence of the great way. in the true method of producing an eternally living and immortal spirit and holy man. But if the work is so far consummated, then everything belonging to the dark principle is wholly absorbed, and the body is born into pure light when the conscious spirit has been transformed into the primal spirit. Then only can one say that it has attained an infinite capacity for transformation, and, departing from the cycle of births, has been brought into the sixfold present, golden genius. If this method of ennobling is not applied, how will the way of being born and dying be escaped?
That's the end of part two. I think in the previous one we read part one and part of part two. And now we've read the rest of part two. I wonder, should I read a little bit of part three? Yes, why not? Editor Edward, could you change the music? It's a real shame about this table. Hopefully I can get it fixed. It's an antique. It's got these little crystal ball claw feet. Probably get it fixed. In fact, it looks like somebody tried to fix it and really kind of, they just drove a nail through it. Anyway, it's neither here nor there. Part three. Circulation of the light and protection of the center. Master Lutsu said, since when has the expression circulation of the light been revealed?
Question.
It was revealed by the true men of the beginning of form. When the light is made to move in a circle, all the energies of heaven and earth, of the light and the dark, are crystallized. That is what is termed seed-like thinking, or purification of the energy, or purification of the idea. When one begins to apply this magic, it is as if, in the middle of being, there were non-being. Oh. Sorry. When, in the course of time, the work is completed, and beyond the body there is a body. It is as if, in the middle of non-being, there were being.
It's like the yin and yang symbol, a little bit.
Only after concentrated work of 100 days will the light be genuine. Then only will it become spirit-fied. After 100 days, there develops by itself in the midst of the light a point of the true light pole. Parentheses, yang and parentheses.
Then suddenly there develops the seed pearl. It is as if man and woman embraced,
and a conception took place.
Then one must be quite still and wait. The circulation of the light is the epoch of fire.
Yeah, it's a nice place to end today's recital. I hope that you enjoyed it, and yeah, good stuff. And all right, well, you know, it is what it is. And we'll pick up
right where we left off next time in part 8 of Chicken Philosophies, The Secret of the Golden Flower. Till next time.